Thank you, Maureen. Okay, welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please help me welcome our speaker, Bonnie B., a compulsive overeater from Florida and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Bonnie B.
Thank you so much, you guys. Is it 20 minutes? How much is it 20 minutes?
Actually, thank you for reminding me. Its speaker speaks up to 30 minutes.
Oh,
And
wow, fantastic.
yeah, Pamela is the timekeeper. Do you want to tell Pamela what kind of a warning you want, Bonnie?
Sure, just the last 10 minutes would be great, Pam. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me to share tonight. What a privilege and what a gift. If it's okay, I'd like to just open by beginning with prayer, if that's okay. God, we just thank you. I thank you. We thank you for the gift of this program. We thank you for your presence tonight. I do ask, Lord, that you would help me to set aside everything I think I know about anything regarding anything so that you can have your way tonight. Thank you for each and every person that's here. Thank you for the gift of recovery. We know that it's from you. Amen. Okay, so I don't know, Jessica, do you want to run through pictures real quick? I'll just do a few pictures just to give, if you can do this. I came into program in 2012, but these pictures sort of show, from a very young age, I already was wrestling with weight. You can just scroll through my top weight these first four. I was probably 175, 180 there, and then came into program about 170 when I came into program. I've been maintaining, by the grace of God, a loss of about 45 pounds for three and a half years. The two pictures that are on the screen right there, I ended up getting COVID in 2020, the very beginning. I got very sick. I did lose all of my hair. I realized at that point that my hair was an idol. I picked up. It was incredible. This is such a great program because it really does dig deep. It helps us to see those things that we're holding on to instead of God. So I was at my ideal body weight in both of those. I've been there for quite a while, and you can scroll down a couple more. That's my husband. He's been with me for 37 years, an amazing guy. We have six children. And there is the last picture that you see right there is our youngest, Vanessa. We have five daughters and one son. And that's Vanessa graduating from college this last May. So I don't know if there's any other than that. That's it. Yep, that's it. Okay. So you can sort of see the difference. I was a hot mess. So, what was it like? What happened? And where am I now? Oh my goodness. I can't remember a time where I ever felt normal, ever. And I used to think it was because I came out of a pretty unhealthy background. I had a lot of reasons that I blamed, my food stuff on for many years, and they felt like they were really valid reasons, to be honest. But, I've come to understand that's none of that was really the deal. The deal is that I have a different DNA, and I'll talk about that DNA thing a little bit later. But my growing up, I don't have good memories. I had parents that gave me the best they could do, and I held them hostage for many years because they didn't show up like I wanted. In my head, I had a Hallmark movie all laid out, or I had a once upon a time happily ever after, and that wasn't my story. And so I wrestled with life for a long time. By the time that I was in seventh grade, I was already into the exercise, the restriction, that kind of stuff. I did things with food that I knew no one else did, and it appeared as though I had no option but to pretend perfect on the outside so no one knew what was going on the inside. And so I lived a life where everything had to be on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10. And if it wasn't, I was sort of freaking out because I was so concerned people would then look at the inside. So if the outside looked perfect, the inside was going to be fine. I lived that illusion for many years, and that's a really heavy thing to do. I had many jobs. I started working when I was young. There wasn't a lot of money. I stole from every place I ever worked at. I stole from Dairy Queen. I stole from Jack and Jill grocery store. I stole from the gas station, and I stole food. I not because I wanted to, and this is what made it so hard. Deep down in my heart, I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do, but I really was. In fact, I would say it's the opposite. It was the opposite I want of what I wanted to do. But the big book tells us on page 73 that most of us, or more than most, the alcoholic leads a double life. He's an actor. And that's what I did. I led a double life. I went all the way through high school. I appeared to be very happy. I was even homecoming queen, if you can believe it. I was very sad, very, very sad on the inside. And I was sad because I could not figure out why I did what I did. And it wasn't just connected to food. There were a whole bunch of other things that I turned to also. But no one knew, because this was my deal, right? A lot of shame and a lot of guilt. What happened? I went to college. I was the first one to go to college. And there was a dear, dear gal in college. Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, the big book talks about the word miracle. It uses it 36 times. And I will say my life is a miracle. Not only has God relieved me of weight, which I held for years and years, he has kept me emotionally sober. And so that is the gift that I have today, is I have emotional sobriety. And as my brain goes, so my body goes. But I did a dig one time on the word miracle in the big book, and it's used 36 times. And this is the definition. It's a highly improbable or extraordinary event, a development or an accomplishment that brings very welcome consequences to the work of a divine agency. Okay. I look back at my life, and I can see how God had stepped in over and over and over. I didn't see it at the time, but I see it very clearly now. I believe that every life is a miracle. I think what happens is life happens, and people don't show up the way you want, and they show up broken and busted. And sometimes it feels like you get, you know, like it's not what you want it to be, but God is all over in most situations. I can see that God has had his hand on my life from a very young age. And so I sort of, when I tell my story, I sort of like talk about the miracles, right? So the first miracle was the fact that I went to college. It was not something that anyone really did. And God provided, and I hope it's not offensive. My higher power, I call God, and it's a God that comes from the Bible. So if you want higher power, you can certainly drop that in, but I will reference it as God. God allowed me to become friends with someone who then took an interest in me in college. And she was actually a junior, and she saw that I was hurt and bad. And she reached out to me, and she befriended me, and she invited me to something called Campus Crusade for Christ. That was the first miracle in my life. I surrendered my heart to the God that I call God. And for the first time in my life, I felt freedom. And he did set me free from many things, but not from the food thing. But I felt hope. I felt hope. And I felt like maybe there was an out that I hadn't felt before that. I still did what I did with food, even after that. And I've come to understand the reason I did what I did is because I have a different DNA. And again, I'll talk about that at the end. I did not know that in the middle of it. The second miracle that I mentioned is when I met my husband. I've been married to the best guy in the entire universe for 37 years. But I was certain that if I got married to a man who loved me with no strings attached. And this is what Bill did. I mean, Bill did not see weight. He saw my heart. And that if I had children, all of the rest would just settle itself out. And you can fast forward 16 years and you can add six beautiful children. And it didn't settle out. The disease continued to ramp up. I just became a much better liar. Oh my goodness. You know, when I got recovered and I did my amends and I told my husband some of the things I've done with food, well, actually all of it, he'd say, really? Really? Because I lied really well. I knew how to cover it because there was so much shame and guilt. We homeschooled for 21 years. Throughout the entire thing, I kept it going. It was not uncommon for me at all to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get to the gym by 5, exercise for 2 hours, come home, homeschool from 7:30 until noon. We had almost 16 years between Rachel and Jared, so I could go back to the gym over the lunch hour, come back home, finish off homeschooling, do supper, and then go back to the gym at night sometimes. And why did I do this? Because of what I did in the middle of the night. And people are like, you exercise so much. How can you be like the size that you are? I stayed around between 150 and 170, even doing all of that, because of what I was consuming in the middle of the night. The next miracle was someone placing an ad in a newspaper. I worked for a company. I was an independent contractor for a company based out of Oregon for several years. And someone had given us a newspaper that I had not ordered. And on the front page, it said, if you do any of these things with food, then maybe you might benefit from coming to this meeting. I had never heard of OA ever. And I read the list and I thought, oh my word, this is me. This is me. And so the very next Saturday, I think it was a Wednesday, I didn't tell my husband. I got in the car. I drove to this meeting. I sat in the back row. I listened to this gal share her story and everything she did with food. And all I could think was, I've done all of that. And then the next thought was, you need a straitjacket. Who stands up in front of the group and says out loud what we've done with food? I mean, I couldn't wrap my head around it, right? I'm thinking, who does that? Someone who's free. And she was free. This was the flicker of hope that I had. I came back. I got a sponsor. I realize now that I think for me, I think I was with the, you know, the big book talks about the heavy eater or the moderate eater, the heavy eater, and then the true compulsive overeater. I think maybe I was a heavy eater at that point because just using the tools, and I still use all the tools. The tools are great, but I've come to understand the tools will never keep me recovered. But back then I used the tools. They didn't really study the big book so much, but they used the tools a lot. And I lost the weight in 7 months. And man, I was just elated. And I had gotten all the way through step four. I never went through the steps. The sponsor that I had when I got to step four, because I had so much stuff in my background, said I don't feel qualified to take your fourth or your fifth step. You know, you want to reach out to someone else? Well, no, I really didn't, because getting it on paper was hard enough, but speaking it out to someone else, no. And besides, I got what I wanted. The scale was at the number I wanted. So little by little, I stepped out and then I was back out. And you can fast forward 18 months later and all the weight was back on again. I was back in the closet with a baseball bat because that's what I did to myself. Shame and guilt, back in the closet. How could it ever have happened? And I stayed there. I stayed there for a long time. I stayed there for an additional year. I look at it now and I realize what happened is that I modified some behaviors. But we know that modifying behaviors doesn't fix anything. If it does, it's very short term. There has to be a transformation on the inside, and that had not taken place. I came in incredibly selfish. I didn't come in thinking about anyone else. I came in thinking about me. I want to get to a certain pant size and I want to stay there. And I just want to be sane in my head. There was nothing about anyone else. And we know this program doesn't work that way. This program is a program of dying to yourself. I wasn't dying to myself. I was using people to get a number on the scale. And so it wasn't a surprise the weight all came back on. I did not go back to that meeting. There was so much shame and guilt, but there was one very dear fellow from that meeting who called me over and over and over and over and over. And of course, I didn't pick up. I had a handful of people call a lot, but one call over and over, I didn't pick up. And because I was back in the food and because all the weight was back on, because I thought I had arrived and I hadn't. And one day there was a chink in my armor and I picked up and I just started crying. I said, gained it all back. And she said, Bonnie, maybe you might want to consider trying a meeting called A Vision for You. They really work the steps. I mean, they study the big book intensively and they work the steps. Maybe that would help you. And so I took that flimsy read, right? And I dialed in to Vision for You. And I sat in the background for 2 months and I just listened. And then I got the guts to introduce myself as a newcomer. And I had so many people reach out to me and there was so much genuine love. I was overwhelmed. And I got a sponsor. And I did my own thing again. And I relapsed and I got a sponsor and I relapsed. And I got a sponsor and I negotiated and I relapsed. And so if you're looking to talk with someone about relapse, call me, choose me. I relapsed many times when I came into program because I was always calling the shots because it was still all about me. In the end, it was always all about me. Another miracle is someone invited me to a program or a Zoom meeting called called Recovery Jam. And it was a very strong meeting. And I heard someone say for the first time, it's not lack of desire. It's not lack of willpower. It's lack of power. Oh my word, did that cut me loose? Because again, my whole thing was, why can't you show up? You can't even do like this right. Right? I mean, I'm in the program. I can't even do this right. And she said, no, it's not lack of desire and I know that's true now because on page 31 in the big book, it says, here are some of the methods we've tried. I wrote down the methods I've tried. When I sponsor people, I will read what I've tried. I will say, make a list of what you've tried. Why? Because it's not lack of desire or willpower. No one that does what I've done lacks desire or willpower. I was not plugged in to the right outlet. End of the story. I did not know that. On page 427, it's one of my favorite, I have a lot, but one of my favorite paragraphs, it says, if you're an apple, you can be the best apple you can be, but you can never be an orange. For the first time, I realized I was an apple trying to be an orange. The big book talks about the need to fully concede, right? That whole idea of like, if you don't fully concede, you can't go from step one to step two. If you don't go from step two, you can't go to three. If you don't do three, you can't do four through nine because you won't trust God. And you're back at the beginning again. I had never fully conceded. I had a different DNA. This is a perplexing kind of disease because it's twofold. It is a true allergy of the body. There are certain substances that when I ingest them, it lights me up. I relapsed for two years and had five sponsors because I refused to lay down stevia and Diet Coke on the weekends. Why? Because when I was in the other program, I could have those, but the disease had ramped up. But I was certain I could do it. But now I understand I have a different DNA. So as much as I used to wish, I don't anymore. I used to wish I had the DNA of my husband and our six kids so I could just be quote unquote normal, which is absolutely a dishonesty because I am normal. God doesn't make mistakes. He knew I had this DNA when I was born. There's no mistakes in God's kingdom. I just didn't know it. And he's given me the solution. And it's an amazing solution because I get to dig every single day and figure out, what's going on? It's never what I think it is. When I do a 10-step, it's not the resentment or the fear. It's not the cause. It's most certainly not the person or the thing. It's what's in that fourth column. I have a different DNA. And the truth for me is that, and again, this has been a program of just great liberation, right? I used to have so much shame and guilt. The truth is that you can't see what you can't see. I couldn't see it. So it's not good and it's not bad. I used to think there were good chapters in my book and bad chapters in my book. And if I showed up perfect, then it was good. And if I didn't, then I go back in the closet. I'm not going to talk to people. And it's all disease. There is no good. There is no bad. There is no right. There is no wrong. We've got a solution. And the solution is for the next 20 seconds. And what's the solution? Guard your thoughts. I don't have an eating issue. I've never had an eating issue or a food issue. I have a thinking disease. And as my thoughts go, so goes my body. You'll hear someone on the vision meetings will sometimes say, the circus will always be in town, but the monkeys are no longer in my head. Okay, I had monkeys in my head. but they're no longer in my head because I have a 10 step. I have the gift of being able to go, okay, I am what the big book calls restless, irritable, and discontent. That's a problem for me. I have a thinking issue. Okay. Or I will, for me, I will say, if I lose my peace, that's a problem for me. I have to immediately go to a 10 step and ask God, what is going on? What is my part? Because he shows me and then he removes it when I'm of service to someone else. Another miracle was the revelation that it will never be me who does anything. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. Talk about pressure off, right? Even for, I was talking with someone about sponsoring and I said, oh yeah, you think I relapsed over sponsoring? I sure did. Yep, because I didn't want to sponsor. Why? Because I was terrified I could not show up right. What a death word, right? Like there's a right way, right? I mean, this is the thing. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. If that person isn't ready, it's just another chapter in their book. All I was supposed to do is just show up and love them and give what I've been given. But I was certain I had to show up perfect. That word used to be, I used to think it was the goal. I now know it's a character defect. Perfectionism is a character defect. That is not God's design for me. I will never be perfect. And when I pretend that I project that onto other people. Thank you so much. So this is the revelation. If it's not done by God, it's not going to happen. And the only way it's going to happen for me is if I plug in. So I use a word picture oftentimes. If you can give me 5 minutes too, Pam, when there's 5 minutes left, I use a word picture of a lamp. I say, if it's dark and I felt like I was in a very dark place, if I walk into a room and I see a lamp, I immediately in my head, I go, okay, I can get light. And I walk over and I flip the switch. If it doesn't work, my brain then says, well, tighten the light bulb. I try that. Doesn't work. My brain then says, maybe the light bulb is burnt out. I pull the light bulb out, walk into the hallway. It looks fine. Put it back in. Doesn't work. My brain then says, try the switch on the wall. Doesn't work. I walk out into the hallway and I ask the first person who's in the light, I can't get the lamp to go on. And the question they ask me is it plugged in? Okay. This is the thing. Okay. If I don't start my day with God, higher power, whatever you want to call it, I have no power source. When that gal said it's not lack of desire, it's not lack of willpower, it's lack of power, that's the gig. And I will forever do all the things I do, right? I weigh and measure, I share, I contact people, I do all those things, but I do those for a different reason. I do them so I can fit myself to be of maximum service to God and other people. I don't do them to fit into a certain pant size. Totally opposite, inside out, upside down. I was doing it completely backward. On page 13, the big book, it says, uncommon becomes common, common becomes uncommon. Everything I ever thought I was supposed to do is opposite of what I have to do in this program. The next miracle is that God never wanted my list. I was a list girl. Here's my list. I checked my list off. Okay, I'm good. We're good, right? I'm good. You're good. I'm good. Mm-mm. Nope, God doesn't want my list. Again, that's behavior modification. God wants my heart. I wake up in the morning and I pray step 1, 2, and 3. And step 3, I pray, God, I offer myself to you to do with me you as you would, to do with me as you would. I physically cup the palms of my hands and I put into the palms of my hands every care and every concern I have. And I offer it up to my God and then I lay it at the foot of the cross. And I have them all the time. We have 6 kids, 9 grandbabies, a ton of stuff going on. Why am I in Florida? Because we were forced to sell our house in Minnesota. Why? Because Hurricane Ian destroyed our house in Florida. And the insurance company came in and awarded $8 million, and 3 people came in, 3 companies, and took every dime. We had out of pocket $100,000 to fix this house. It's not my story, it's God's story. Shine brightly, right? If I don't plug in every single day, food is going to be a step up. He doesn't get my list, he gets my heart. And then I say, God, what would you want me to do? Another miracle. I discovered what my purpose in life is. It's not to be a certain body size. My purpose in life is to fit myself so I can shine brightly, so I can point others back to the Creator, right? The only one that can deliver us from this disease if we have this DNA. And again, the deliverance isn't like take it away. The deliverance is thank you for the solution for today. Thank you that I can live in that place of peace. I can live in that place of emotional sobriety. And oh yeah, by the way, your body will end up being the size it's supposed to be because that's what happens when your brain's where it's supposed to be. God knows that too. I get to stay in my hula hoop. I intentionally every single day stay inside my hula hoop. The only thing that's in my hula hoop is God, myself, and my program. And the last miracle is that it's okay to be broken and to be perfectly imperfect. God loves me exactly the way I am. I show up broken every single day. I share my brokenness with other people. I don't hide anything anymore because those are chapters that are in my book. They're not good. They're not bad. They're just chapters. And it's what people did for me, and it helped me to lean in. Before, you know, if I had come to this program and everyone said, oh yeah, I got recovered right away and it was great and everything's perfect, I would have thought I'm a freak again. I don't fit. I'm in the right aquarium because I know that everyone else that's in this aquarium has my DNA or you wouldn't be here. And so when I talk to people, I'll say, what you're going to find out as we talk is, oh, we have a whole lot more in common than you think we do. And I can tell you my story and it's going to cause them to breathe in and probably for the first time feel at peace. You know, what is it like for me now? I wake up every day with one mission. Thank you so much. One mission statement. And that mission statement is to live recovered today. If I live recovered today, and you know, I heard it all the time on the phone lines, and I would think, stop saying that, right? I mean, what does that mean? It means that I'm emotionally sober today. It means that I invest in other people. It means that my thoughts aren't all about me. And the only way I can do that is to stay inside my hula hoop. If I can live recovered for today, and I can let God be the star of the show and point everyone back to him, then everyone wins. When I sponsor people, I will say straight out of the chutes, my desire is never to have you connect to me or a program or anything, because all of that is good, but none of that will keep you recovered. My desire is to take your hand and put it into the hand of your God. Because when I weave out as I'm supposed to, because the big book says you go help still suffering others, still others that are suffering. If you're not connected to your higher power, to your God, you're back in again. So my desire is to let God be the star of their show, to encourage them to seek God, and then to love others exactly where they're at. Because if people hadn't loved me through every single relapse, if I had ever felt condemnation or shame or like I wasn't like welcome back with open arms, I would have been in that closet again. And I would be on the sidelines. And so my ultimate desire is to love people with no strings attached. That's how God loves us. And to share what I've been given, which is the greatest gift ever. I mean, second to my relationship with my God, this is the greatest gift I've ever been given. And I am eternally grateful for it. And I will be giving it away from the time. I mean, as long as I can, I will give this thing away because I've been given much. And so I think I will pass with that because the time is close. And once again, thank you for letting me share, you guys.
Isn't it supposed to say the recording has been stopped?
Yeah, you can just say thank you and then I stop it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just reading what it says.